Hey, Love Tribe. Today's episode is brought to you by one of my personal favorites, Cozy Earth. They've got something special for all the mothers out there. So anyone who wants to shower the special woman in their lives with love and the comfort they deserve, listen up. Hands down, Cozy Earth has the best sheets, bedding, pajama sets, and more. So today, I'm excited to share that Relationship Advice listeners get an exclusive 35% off discount. Simply go to cozyearth.com and use the promo code I do at checkout. The first time I tried their bamboo sheets, I was blown away. The comfort level is insane. I just love slipping into their seriously soft and cool sheets after a long day. And for a mom who knows that the struggle of sleep deprivation is real, Cozy Earth's temperature regulating technology has been a lifesaver. No more waking up sweating or freezing. But what really sold me is the quality of the bamboo sheets. They are by far the most comfortable sheets I have ever slept in. They are made to last years, which they have. I think at this point I have about 6 sets of them. And they have a 100-night sleep-free trial and a 10-year warranty, so you know you're getting something that is going to stick around. So if you're ready to prioritize your sleep health and treat yourself or the mom in your life to the luxury she deserves, head on over to cozyearth.com and use the promo code IDO for an exclusive 35% off. Because every mom deserves a good night's sleep, and with Cozy Earth, you can finally get the rest you need. Let's talk about a struggle many of us know all too well. Losing weight. Remember those days when everyone was on a juice cleanse or just basically hangry all the time? That was no fun for anyone. Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to shed those pounds. Today, I want to introduce you to Row Body. It's not your typical weight loss program. Instead of all the gimmicks, they offer access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. But here's the real deal. They pair these shots with simple lifestyle changes, helping you lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Plus, over 200,000 people have already seen results with Row Body. So what sets Row Body apart? The support. They handle all the insurance stuff for you and give you access to a provider whenever you need them. And the best part, you can sign up online from home, no doctor's appointments and no waiting rooms. Say goodbye to those days of hangry juice cleanses. With Row Body, losing weight is straightforward and sustainable. Take that first step today and say hello to a healthier, happier you. Kickstart your weight loss journey the right way and head to row.co/IDO. That's row.co/IDO. Sign up today for just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Remember, medication costs are separate. That's row.co/IDO.
What is going on, I Do podcast listeners?
Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful sunny day here in San Diego.
Yeah, you're not here. We wish you were here.
We're pretending that you're
hopefully
here
it's beautiful
us.
And sunny wherever you're at. Yeah, it's that time of year. It's fall in, I want to say it's fall in most places. It's fall in the entire northern hemisphere, but it doesn't feel like fall, I guess, in San Diego when it's always sunny and there's not many trees, so they're not changing. So, but I do miss that growing up in the south outside of Atlanta. Lots of trees, fall color. So hopefully you are enjoying those fallen leaves.
Pumpkin spice
lattes. Get out of here with that. Pumpkin spice everything. I think that's That's the new normal.
I think that's a hashtag. Yeah. Pumpkin spice everything.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
This is not a this is not a hashtag pumpkin spice podcast.
No, it's not.
But it is a great one. We have Dr. Tara Well. And Dr. Tara is a professor of psychology at Barnard College of Columbia University in New York City. And she has over 20 years of experience in conducting research on what motivates us and influences our perceptions, as well as extensive training in meditation, yoga, and other mind-body healing modalities. And today we talk about loneliness, something that I think we all have dealt with or are dealing with at one time or another. I know that I certainly feel lonely and deal with loneliness. And so there are a lot of great tips that will help you individually and will certainly help you in your relationship.
Yeah, and we also go over ways to talk to your partner or bring up loneliness. You know, for example, like Chase said, you know, sometimes he deals with loneliness, and it's helpful as a partner to open the dialogue and allow that to be part of the discussion in your conversation so that you can help each other, but also realize that your partner isn't going to, you know, solve your loneliness problem. You really do have to look within and use exercises that Tara talks about to help get over your loneliness.
Yeah, yeah. Tara gives a lot of great tips. And one of my favorite ones is to realize that it's normal to be lonely. And she goes into detail about that. But that's a big thing that can improve all aspects of your psyche, is that not to be like, why am I feeling angry? Why am I feeling lonely? Like basically being hard on yourself, but just accepting that that's part of the human condition. And then if you start from there, that alone is going to be a huge thing. So I really like that. And she gives a lot of great tips. Like we mentioned, one thing I do want to point out, we were having a bit of audio difficulty. It is bearable, at least to us. It wasn't anything completely out of the ordinary, but it wasn't crystal clear as we would like it.
Yeah, so we did have our editor jump in and do the best he can, so hopefully it's clear enough for you guys.
Yeah, we'll blame the internet. I think it was just a bad internet connection, but like I said, just look out for that. It's totally worth listening to this episode, and don't be like, oh, she's cutting out. It might happen a couple times, but hang in there. And it's really our magic editor was Sarah for the longest time, but we are now outsourcing that because she was losing, I don't want to say losing her mind, but with the 2-year-old and running a business from home, if we can outsource anything, a lot of times that helps. So we splurge and we have someone helping us with the audio editing. Yeah. So yeah, definitely enjoy today's episode. Enjoy your hashtag pumpkin spice everything or your fall colors that we're missing here in San Diego.
And as always, we appreciate you guys so much for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you choose from over 1,500 licensed therapists. Get matched with your perfect therapist today by visiting Talkspace.com/I do. That's Talkspace.com/I do. Hi, Tara. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Hello. It's my pleasure.
We've given our listeners a little overview, told them a little bit about your work. Why don't you tell us why you enjoy helping people improve their relationships?
Well, I have been researching mirror meditation, which is a practice in which you meditate in front of a mirror, looking at your own reflection, and just being with yourself and being in acceptance and loving awareness of whatever comes up for you when you look at yourself. And one of the great benefits of doing mirror meditation is actually that people report that it improves their relationships, because it improves their relationships with themselves. So then that improvement tends to carry over to their relationships with other people. So I'm always interested in spreading the word and doing what I can to share what we've learned in our research lab on this technique.
That sounds super interesting. Mirror meditation. I've never heard of that, but I do try to meditate a little bit myself. And so I don't want to make light of it. But when you said that, it reminded me of the SNL skit, The Californians. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Yeah. Yes,
where
sure.
Where they're looking in the mirror at the end. That's like the whole play. But it is. It does sound like a interesting practice. Definitely. I've even done that brushing my teeth. You kind of like, it's kind of weird, actually. It's like this otherness. So like when you really just look into your own eyes. So yeah, we'll have to have you on to talk more about that for the next show.
Okay, cool. That sounds great. So today I think we're talking about my work on loneliness. I've been exploring that as a topic too, because it's really an epidemic in our culture, and mainly because people are spending more time digitally on their phones, away from family and friends, and traveling. And many people report that they don't have even a best friend or someone to talk to. So sometimes two people think once they get in a relationship, they're never going to be lonely again and all their problems are going to be solved and it's going to be wonderful. And that is sometimes true, but oftentimes we find that even in our closest relationships, we can sometimes still feel lonely if we're not really giving ourselves that support and really being kind to ourselves. We oftentimes will look for this in other people and other relationships, when in fact we need to sort of fill ourselves in a way so we have more to really offer our partners and our friends and relationships.
You wrote a really great article about dealing with loneliness and the steps that people can take to kind of go through the acceptance and awareness and then how to deal with that. So I would love to, dive into that, because I think they're really actionable steps that our listeners can put into their relationship and hopefully find a way to deal with their loneliness. So I know in the article you start with resist the urge for immediate relief. Can you expand on that so our listeners can practice that?
To resist the urge for immediate relief is basically just not doing things impulsively, because oftentimes when we feel lonely, it feels like something's missing, and it can be really painful if we're not used to being with ourselves. So this is oftentimes when kind of compulsive or addictive behaviors like eating or drinking or having casual sex just to feel the urge to want to be with somebody because we feel lonely, or shopping, to name a few things that people sometimes do. But if we engage in more cool processes, more thoughtful processes, such as we're able to find a sense of contentment and acceptance in our loneliness, and just realizing that it's a natural, normal human condition. Sometimes people feel shame when they feel lonely because, we see so much in the media of everybody having all these friends and, everybody always looks like they're having this great time and here we are lonely. So we oftentimes don't get a lot of positive messages about loneliness and the idea that, yes, we all spend time alone, and being lonely is one aspect of the human condition that we all experience. And we're not bad people because we're lonely. And we can also work toward finding ways to really just be with ourselves and be with ourselves in that process. And that's where a meditation practice really comes in and is really helpful.
Yeah, and I think that's a great place to start. And it seems like these are self-destructive behaviors if we're hot, if we're being impulsive. And I feel like another one that I find myself doing, and perhaps I would imagine a lot of people listening, is that when we feel lonely, we go mindlessly onto the internet, onto social media, and we start scrolling through our Instagram or Facebook feeds. And I feel like this is exacerbating the problem. It's not only are we just not being with our own thoughts, but we're seeing, and you touched on it a little bit, but we're seeing other people and, oh, look how much fun they're having. They're hanging out with their friends in the picture, or they're traveling, you name it. And that's just such an unhealthy thing, because social media is not real life. It's a reflection of the best moments of someone's day, week. And that's got to be a huge part of the fact that even though it's supposed to connect us and there's definitely some value, I feel like more and more it can make us feel lonelier than without it.
Yes. And it's just temporary relief too, because we find like when we get to, the bottom of the ice cream carton, or the night after we've been out drinking, or we realize we've just spent many hours scrolling through Instagram and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, we're left feeling with that same sense of emptiness. And it's really about us to fill ourselves and resource ourselves internally rather than looking outside ourselves to be filled, because that's never really going to do it for us.
And so what is the next step that someone can do to help deal with loneliness?
Well, I think one of the first steps is to really accept it, to realize that it's not that they're not a bad person because they feel lonely, or they haven't done something wrong, and to really get out of the whys. That's another thing that I mentioned in the blog was to, when we start thinking, why am I lonely, or telling stories about how I've been lonely, I was lonely as a child, I've, you know, lonely here, lonely there, that really helps to sort of ingrain that sense of identity with it, and it kind of like can have us go down the rabbit hole of the problem. So it's much better to sort of keep an open awareness to and an acceptance to the fact that, oh, I'm feeling lonely. This is good information for me. And it's not information that means that I've done something bad or wrong, or I'm a bad person because in the moment I feel lonely.
Do you mind expanding on what you just said about not asking why, but more asking what?
Yes, not asking why, but asking what is a better question. Research really shows, as you may know, if you've had experts on your show on depression, what research shows is that oftentimes we can start to feel sort of very self-blaming and self-critical when we ruminate. And ruminate is when we kind of go over things in our mind over and over again, like, oh, if I wouldn't have said that thing, that person would still be my friend, or I'd still be in that relationship, or going back over, why am I so lonely? This kind of thing. And this will actually make people feel much, much worse. And this ruminative kind of thinking. But when we kind of expand out and we don't ask why, but we ask what can I do? What can I learn from this experience I'm having? What's next for me? It's really important to remember too, that things don't stay the same. You know, even when good things are happening, they eventually change. So when we're feeling lonely, realizing that we're not always going to be lonely, and that things are going to change and things are going to shift. And when we start focusing on what's going to happen next, what would I like to have happen? What would I like my relationships to look like? What can I do right now that would bring me a step closer toward having the kinds of relationships that I'd like to have?
That's great advice. And before we go to the next step in dealing with loneliness, I wanted to ask this in the beginning, but how do you differentiate between loneliness and depression?
Depression is more like a clinical state in which, you know, someone just has a certain degree of, even depending on how depressed they are, they have a certain affect that leads them to feel not great, so that they're, you know, in terms of cognitively, their focus can become very narrow. So they don't necessarily see outside themselves and see for possibilities, and they get into this ruminative kind of thinking. I think one of the key ways to differentiate loneliness is, what's the difference between being alone and being lonely? And so one of the things that we can talk about is, when we're lonely, it's like we see something missing. When we're alone, we're just alone, but we're more accepting of it, and we're more even just being in relationship with ourselves. And certainly depression can be a byproduct or something that can happen through ruminating about, again, or blaming ourselves. You know, getting down on ourselves that something's wrong with us because we don't have friends, or we don't have the relationship that we like. So that kind of thinking can really kind of maintain our depression.
Yeah, it seems like there's some overlap. Like, you can be lonely and depressed, or depressed and lonely, however you want to say it. But in that, a lot of what you're...
Oh, definitely.
The tips you're giving can apply to both. It's not to say that depression... won't have biochemical roots, and you can think, you can't think your way out of it necessarily, but it seems like these tips on dealing with loneliness can certainly help to change your mindset and hopefully make improvements if you are depressed and not just lonely.
Right. Definitely. And I should say too, I am not a licensed clinical psychologist. So any of the advice or tips I'm giving, I should not be a substitute for advice from one's psychologist or a licensed practitioner.
Absolutely. Well, let's go on and talk about another step that we can take to not feel so lonely.
Well, one of the things is also to do a framing of it in terms of thinking about loneliness as sometimes a necessary stage before we make a big change in our lives. So oftentimes we can go through a period of time when we feel lonely after we have a breakup, for instance, or we have a change in jobs or a change in our friendship or other kinds of relationships. And so we miss that person. But at the same time, we realize that that was for the best, that that relationship ended for the best, or maybe we just didn't have a choice and the relationship just did end. And so there's a necessary stage for us to feel lonely while we're thinking about what we want to do next. What do we want to create next in our relationships, in our jobs, in our connections with other people? So that, again, not getting down on oneself and not thinking that something's wrong because you're feeling lonely, but taking that gap between being in a relationship and then being able to really, you know, come back to being a friend to yourself and then seeing what do you want to create next. And oftentimes too, you know, when we're with people and we're in groups and we're feeling really good about being in groups, we tend not to take as many risks or make changes or question things because we're just happy and things are going along well. So when there's a gap and we're feeling lonely, that's really a time that people can use to their advantage for personal growth.
I love that you say that because it so beautifully leads into the next step, which is realizing that loneliness is normal in relationships and that a lot of people deal with it and that you are not alone if you are feeling lonely.
Exactly. I mean, and that is the thing to always remember, so you have compassion for yourself. Because again, we're socialized to think that, you know, if we just find the one, the perfect partner, we're going to never be lonely again. We're going to be happy all the time. And, you know, everything's going to be perfect, just like it is on the media, on TV or in books. And we grew up with these stories. So we always think that, you know, we're trying to get to a point where everything is fine and good, and we're completely satisfied in every possible way. And that's just not the human condition. That's just not how we're set up. We're set up to grow and for things to not be perfect. That's why we're here. And it's also hard when you're in a relationship and you have the expectation for your partner that your partner should meet all your needs of always being with you if you're lonely or this kind of thing. And that can sometimes put a tremendous burden on people in relationships, because once they get together and they spend more and more time together, when they get married, then it becomes clear that that person really can't be the be all end all and meet every need you can possibly have 24/7, even though you're spending a lot more time together and you're committed to live your life together. That person can't satisfy every need, no matter how much they love you or how much they would want to.
How would you recommend somebody who is either dealing with loneliness or they can kind of sense that their partner is dealing with loneliness? How do they address it in a relationship so that they can help each other improve on it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think, you know, to really broach the topic and to, again, begin the discussion from an acceptance of being lonely as part of life, and everybody experiences it, so the person doesn't feel confronted or they don't feel ashamed of the fact that they're lonely. And two, you know, if you're in a relationship and your partner feels lonely, you can even feel guilty because you're not meeting that person's needs for companionship or whatever the specifics might be of that. So it's important to kind of look at your own feelings too. If you sense that your partner is feeling lonely, you know, how are you feeling about them being lonely? Is it something, you know, you're trying to fix your partner and make it all better for them? If you can approach it as like an open inquiry, like I was just wondering how you're feeling, rather than are you feeling lonely? What can I do? Kind of a thing. Because people are more likely to get defensive again, because we kind of have a stigma about loneliness, you know, like something's wrong if we're lonely.
Yeah. And I want to touch on, you mentioned not looking to your partner to fix you necessarily. And that's an important thing. And I think a thing to look to is like, what can I do and what can we do as a couple to try to make this better, and discussing that openly. And one thing that I know Sarah and I have made an effort to do more is connecting with groups of friends. I feel like, especially when you become a couple, when you are a couple, it's easy to just settle into your routine and you watch Netflix in the evening and you have dinner at home and put it on repeat. And not to mention, if you have a kid, it makes it even harder. But I know just in the last few weeks, we've made an effort to get together with other couples that we're friends with. And it's felt really great. Like, we're connecting with other people, and that socialization again, it seems like it'd be an easy thing, but I think more and more we're so busy and we're not having those face-to-face real communications and interactions with people that making that effort has certainly felt great for our relationship, and I think together and individually.
Really good point, because what happens usually when couples get together, and particularly when they have children, is they become more and more insular. And it's really important to have a more expansive network of friends. And it kind of can take the burden off of if the partner needs a little bit of alone time, then the more extroverted partner can do that. Because we all need to kind of balance our alone time with social time. And we also need to intellectually stimulated by other people rather than just our partners all the time. So it's important to have that variety in our contacts.
Yeah. Sarah and I have to kind of go out of our way to make that happen, obviously, because we have a 2-year-old, but we're also we're kind of introverted in a way, in a sense, or we're, I guess, like homebodies is the way I describe it. Like, we're fine with kind of just hanging out at home with each other, and it's comfortable. I don't think we are particularly lonely because of that. But even then, I want to iterate that even though we didn't necessarily feel lonely, it felt just great to hang out with friends, have a different experience, going to game night, going to a concert. Really, I guess it's also about getting out of your comfort zone can really elevate your relationship and your mood individually and as a couple.
Right. Yeah. Because you're having different experiences together with different people. So then that creates a much richer life together.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, are there any other tools or tips that we can use to help deal with loneliness?
Buddhist psychiatrist Mark Epstein mentions in some of his writing, and that is the idea that there's always some aspect of us that's always going to be different than the other person. So that there's kind of like a flavor of separation is what they call it in Buddhism. And that's the idea that we're always a separate person. So no matter how close we are, we may always still feel that little bit of sense of aloneness. And then again, that's natural, and that everybody feels that. And that's part of the human and being different from other people and being separate from other people. So it's not a bad thing, because sometimes we can evaluate the quality of our relationships based on how close we feel to the other person. But that might not always be the best benchmark, because we can never be, you know, totally, totally connected. But it's also really key to be able to state your needs if you're lonely and you need something without expecting your partner to necessarily be able to relieve it or deal with it. That's another big issue, I think, in relationships, because sometimes we think when someone loves us, they should totally get us and be able to meet all our needs. And if they don't, maybe they don't really love us. But in fact, people can deeply, but they may not be able to meet all our emotional needs for a variety of reasons. And that's part of the imperfection of us as humans. And it's also just the imperfection of us as we come together in relationships. So I think it's important to take that broader view and not to diagnose a relationship based on these feelings of loneliness or separation that might come up from time to time.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of issues in a relationship can occur, obviously, through communication. We talk about it a lot, in that you might be feeling lonely and you just expect your partner to read your mind, to read your loneliness, and then come in and save the day. And it's just where you don't have superhuman powers. And it's so important that if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling angry, whatever it is, really, that you don't wait for your partner to do something. You communicate it, and you communicate it in a calm and in a rational manner. You don't get angry and say, why, you know, can't you tell I'm pissed off or I'm lonely? And no, it's like, we're not mind readers. And I think that's an important thing to do. It's a terrible thing to feel lonely, and we all go through it. I know I feel lonely, but if I sit there and like you said earlier and ruminate, I'm just going to feel worse and worse. And even if it's just, I think communicating that with your partner, you're going to probably feel less lonely because now you're sharing these feelings and you're not in it alone. And it may not just totally fix you, but certainly that alone, just acknowledging it to yourself and then to your partner, has got to be a big relief.
And your partner may even come back and say, you know, I was feeling that same way too, but I didn't know how to tell you, or I didn't know how to express it. And it opens a whole dialogue.
Right. That's a good point. Yes. Because when you're willing to take the risk of admitting that you're lonely, and even in a relationship with someone close, it's really vulnerable. So it's really a way of actually creating more closeness and openness.
So Tara, are there any things that we skipped over that can help us deal with loneliness before we go to the lasting love round?
Well, one of the things that I hadn't touched on yet was the idea of the kind of like the neurochemicals that happen when we're together. And then when we separate from people, we can kind of feel alarmed and lonely. And I think this can come up if you're married and you're used to, you know, being very close to someone, sleeping in the same bed with someone, and then they go off on a trip. We can really feel lonely because of the neurochemical response that we have when we develop the habitual response of hugging someone or cuddling with them. And then the absence of that can actually create a physiological reaction. And it can be very strong. It can definitely mimic any kind of early parent-child kinds of separation traumas we may have had in terms of being left alone and feeling an emotional distress. So as adults, we can really put that in perspective and realize that we're just been left alone for the moment. We haven't been abandoned. Our life's not being threatened, but it can feel that way because of the way we're sort of wired. So that's really important to know in terms of if kind of like these desperate feelings come up, or this, you know, really intense longing that you feel when you're separated from your partner, or, you know, you break up with someone and then you're no longer in physical contact. You go through a period of, it's sort of like a chemical withdrawal. And it's important to know that that's painful, but you don't need to act on it, and it will dissipate over time.
And I imagine that knowledge is going to help you accept it and accept that loneliness, realize that there's nothing wrong with you and that those feelings are natural and literally part of your biochemistry.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's, I think my main message is to have your listeners realize that if they're lonely, it's not that anything's wrong. It's part of the human condition. And it's really an invitation to be compassionate toward yourself and to really be a good friend to yourself. There's certainly the saying, you're really alone because you're with yourself. If you're lonely, in some ways, you might even be abandoning yourself because you're not, you know, just staying with yourself and with your feelings. And so, of course, one way to do that is just to be able to have compassion for yourself and to accept that it's part of life.
Yeah, it's something that I have talked about before, but I'm always working on because I feel like I can be pretty type A, achievement oriented, and hard on myself. And loneliness, it mm-hmm. falls into this category of like, or depression even. I feel like I go through, have bouts of depression. I haven't been diagnosed, but certainly loneliness and that just saying this is a natural thing, it has a huge impact and lets me ease up on myself and be a friend to myself rather than, you know, exasperating the problem.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Tara, this has all been great information. Now we got to move forward to the lasting love round.
But first, let's take a break and talk about one of today's sponsors, Talkspace.
Talkspace is an online therapy company that will allow you to choose from thousands of certified and vetted therapists where you can communicate with them directly through your phone, through text, email, video chat, or voice, and it's super easy to do. And obviously, you're listening to this podcast, so you want relationship advice. Whether you're in a rut or you just want to take your relationship to the next level, talking with a therapist is the best way to get there besides listening to I Do Podcasts.
So if you want to sign up today, head on over to Talkspace.com/I Do and get $30 off your first month. That's Talkspace.com/I Do and enter the promo code I Do.
Talkspace, therapy for how we live today.
So the other night, Chase and I decided that we wanted to do a date night, but we could not decide where we wanted to go. So we decided to use our HelloFresh, which is a meal kit delivery service that makes date night and cooking at home so much fun and, most importantly, easy. Each week, HelloFresh sends us a new box with delicious recipes and step-by-step instructions, and the meals only take about 30 minutes to make. And not only is it super easy to make, but the ingredients are of the freshest quality, and they're measured to the exact quantities that you need, so there's no waste.
Last night, Sarah and I made bell pepper and black bean quesadillas. And if you don't know, we live in San Diego and it's basically the home of Mexican food in the US. So we have high standards and it was delicious. Very good food. And it's Sarah's favorite, right?
I love Mexican and these quesadillas were the bomb. So if you want to get signed up today and get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter in our promo code IDO30. So again, that's HelloFresh.com, promo code IDO30, and get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. What is one tool or practice our listeners can use on a daily basis to help improve their relationship?
I would actually try the mirror meditation in the sense of try sitting in front of the mirror for 10 minutes a day with no goal other than to be present with yourself and just alone, and do that as an inquiry and try to give yourself the same loving attention you would give a partner or a friend and see if it makes a difference in your relationships and your friendships.
Is there a book or resource you can recommend for listeners who want to improve their relationship?
There's actually several books. I like several books that have been out. One of the main books, actually, one of the books, it's a classic book that I cite in the Psychology Today blog post, is a book by David Riccio called How to Be an Adult. He has a book called How to Be an Adult. I think he has another book called How to Be Adult in Relationships. And that has been my primer for many years. I have a very worn copy of that book. And it has some very, very practical tips and very straightforward tips of inquiry and getting clarity on your relationship and also your own needs and your role that you play in relationships and really empowering people to take personal responsibility for the relationships they create. It's a wonderful little book.
Excellent. Well, we'll be sure to add that to your show notes page. And we actually interviewed David almost a year ago now, and we'll link to his interview as well, because that was also a great interview. So all those links will be in your show notes page. We've been married for almost 3 years now. Is there any advice you'd give newlyweds?
Wow, 3 years. Congratulations. That's amazing. Not really. To be honest with you, I'm not married, so I'm kind of like, what I know about relationships. And I think it's great that you're married for 3 years. And I think that this is wonderful that you're doing this show as a way to change and grow and then share that with people, which is wonderful. And that is one of the things that they show that research shows that helps keep couples together. And that is that they have a shared values and that they're working together in a way to help other people so that you have that bond. You not only have like an intimate bond with each other and you're raising children, but then you also have this career calling or this vocation to help people and spread the word about how they can improve their relationships, which I think is amazing.
Thank you. So all you have to do is start a podcast or listen to this podcast. We'll make that the recommendation. What advice would you give our single listeners looking for a happy relationship?
I would say that being a friend to yourself, again, I would say try the mirror meditation practice and see what comes up for you around relationships and around your relationship with yourself. And again, as we've been talking about, you need to come to a relationship full and feeling really good about yourself with something to offer another person rather than looking to see what you can get from other people to fill, you know, emptiness within you. So it's really important to fill and resource yourself and so that you can be an equal partner when you enter a relationship. And you'll attract people, too, who are full and feel good about themselves. You'll attract the people who are thinking the same way you are about relationships.
Yeah, that's such an important thing. And we talk about it a lot. So if you're single, if you're in a relationship, don't look outward as the first thing because it starts with you. And that's such an empowering message because we are in control. As someone who's a bit of a control freak myself, it's like I have no excuse. Like I can take the steps to improve the relationship. I can take the steps to help not feel lonely, not looking to Sarah to help fix that, not looking to someone else. So really a great piece of advice.
Well, Tara, we have really enjoyed having you on the show today. So let's wrap up by having you tell our listeners where they can find you online, and then we'll say goodbye.
It's been my pleasure. Really, really enjoyed talking with you and sharing with your listeners. You can find me at mirrormeditation.com. And we have a Psychology Today blog as well called The Clarity. And you can also like our Facebook page. We have a Mirror Meditation Facebook page. We just turned over to 7,000 viewers yesterday. I'm so excited. And we post articles on psychology, meditation, relationships, managing emotions, and communication. So if you're interested in reading those kinds of articles, we'd love for you to join our community. And you can simply like our page and all the posts will come your way.
Well, Tara, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm going to practice some mirror meditation. If I don't have time, there's no excuse. I can do it when I brush my teeth, right?
Okay, that sounds good. There are more instructions on the website. So if you're interested in developing a serious practice, and you can always contact me too. I do sessions with people and we do live workshops actually in New York City. So if you're in the area, you can check the website out for my upcoming events.
Excellent. Well, all those links will be on your show notes page. And again, Tara, thank you so much for joining us and for coming on the show.
Great. Thank you very much.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode with Tara. If you want to check out any of the recommendations or the links that we talked about in today's episode, you can head on over to our website at idopodcast.com/119. And while you're on our website, we encourage you to check out all the free resources that we've been working on for you guys. One of those is the 14-Day Happy Couple Challenge. It is a 14-day challenge that is sent to your inbox every day with doable challenges to help your relationship grow and be stronger and happier. And we've also put together a few free downloads. A lot of them are step-by-step guides to help strengthen your relationship. For example, one of those is how to cultivate respect in your relationship. Another is online dating don't. So what to not do when you're online dating. So if any of those sound interesting to you, you can check them out on our website at idopodcast.com. And we hope you find all the resources that you're looking for. See you next week.
Listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.